This morning, I want you to take your Bibles, first of all, to turn to Hebrews. Book of Hebrews, chapter 12. You know, it's good to read the Bible, isn't it? It's good to study the Bible, isn't it? Well, if we just read and study the Bible, we do well, okay? But just as important, I should say, as reading and studying the Bible is learning to apply the Bible to our own lives. And that's very important. If all I do is read the Bible and study the Bible, the Bible's not going to benefit me any until I apply it to my life. And I have to apply it to my life daily. We've been studying for weeks now the book of Jonah. We've been studying about how Jonah was a servant of God. God sent him on a mission to a specific place for a specific job. He was to go to Nineveh to cry out about the sins of the people there. But we know what happened to Jonah. Jonah rebelled, literally. He rebelled against God, God's will for his life. He went the opposite direction to escape the very presence of God and certainly the task that God had set for him to do. As he went that way, we find that God began to work in Jonah through circumstances, through the storm, and other things that come into his life, and to try to get Jonah's attention. And we find through the process of time that he did. He finally got Jonah's attention. Not that it was God's delay, it was Jonah's delay in waking up to see what God wanted him to do. He knew what he wanted to do, but to do what God wanted him to do. So we see here, through Jonah, I want us today to look at what we've already talked about in Jonah as far as him is concerned, his life. And I want us to be able to look at it today and apply what happened in Jonah's life to our own lives. To see where, you know, put ourselves where Jonah was and look at the things that God did, how God worked, and how God moved in his life, and how Jonah did what he did, and to put all this applicable to our own selves. Put ourselves in the place of Jonah, if you please, and see where we are today, where we are today. First of all, we found in Jonah, in his life, that we must acknowledge ourselves. Whenever trials and afflictions come into our lives, come before us, we must realize that God is working. God is working. Especially when it's sin in our lives, like it was in Jonah. Jonah had sin in his life, and as God began to move on him through his afflictions and through his trials that he had, we find God was working on Jonah, or in Jonah. It was working. God's always working, folks. He never rests. He's always working. He's working on all of us all the time. Like the little song says, he's still working on me. Well, he always is, always will be, as long as I'm in this flesh. Because I need some adjustments. I need some work done on me all the time. And I'm thankful that he's that way. But we see Jonah neglected the service, if you please, that God directed him to do. He literally disobeyed God. Even though the command to Jonah was plain, it was simple. Yet he neglected and he did not obey God in what God wanted him to do. He made many excuses, no doubt. No doubt he might have said, you know, I've done my share of service, why should I do any more? You know, he might have said also about the Ninevites, if I go preach to those Ninevites, they're gonna laugh at me, they're gonna mock me, they're gonna just not want me. And yet he also could have said, those Ninevites are enemies to my own country. Why should I go and warn them and tell them what you want me to tell them? Well, we see all this was simply disobeying and neglecting what God wanted him to do in his life. Now, we call this sin. The Bible tells us in James 4:17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is what? Sin. It is sin. Well, we see that such sin, as far as in Jonah's life, in God's people, is followed up by what God tells us and teaches us about is chastisement. Chastisement. When there is sin in my life as a Christian, there's broken fellowship between me and God. I mean, I'm not in fellowship with God. God's not in fellowship with me because God does not like sin. He hates sin. And therefore, whenever I have sin in my life as a Christian, I have to deal with that sin. And I have to deal with God about that sin in my life. If I don't, some things are going to happen. First of all, I'm going to be out of fellowship with God. I'm not going to enjoy my Bible reading, my Bible studying. I'm not going to enjoy coming to Sunday school. I'm not going to enjoy coming to church. I'm just going to be a flat, miserable Christian because I have sin in my life. But God has an amazing way to deal with us, even as His children, whenever we have sin in our lives. It's through trials. It's through afflictions. Yes, it is. And these things we call chastisement. Chastisement. Now, what is chastisement? Chastisement is the learning and teaching of a lesson. You know, we've often said in our lives, the best way to learn anything is to experience it, right? Experience it ourselves. And we learn by doing. So we see that God, through chastisement, is called sometimes punishment, sometimes it's called discipline. And He applies it to Christians. Now, chastisement is only for Christian people. God's people, we'll see that a little later on here. But we see also that chastisement, through chastisement, God instructs us. He trains us. He educates us. Not only that, we find He also guides us in our lives through chastisement. The process is all done for us that we might be corrected. In other words, it's for correction in our life. Because no matter how long you've been saved, we all still are what? Sinners. We all still do wrong. No matter how long you've been saved, I still do wrong and you do wrong. And sometimes whenever things build up in our lives and we get sin in our lives, God, through the process of chastisement, will try to correct us. All of you that have had children, have grandchildren, what do to them? You try to correct them, don't you? Whenever they do wrong, you try to guide them in the right way. Well, likewise, as God's family, God's children, He does the same thing. He does it through a process called chastisement. Chastisement. So we see now, such sin as this is in all our lives, and we need to recognize this. Now, we see in Jonah's life, through chastisement, what did he do? First of all, we see that he despised it, didn't he? He despised it because he ran. He ran. He tried to get away from God. Okay? I'll go where God's not. I'll get out of His very presence. Therefore, if I won't hear His voice, and I won't have to do what He's called me to do and wants me to do. He despised the chastisement of God. Jonah, in chapters 1 and 2, was under chastisement. God was trying to discipline him, and God was punishing him because he wasn't obedient to God. We also see that we may faint or give up. Remember what Jonah said? I'm going to quit preaching. I'm through with it all. I'm gone. That's what he did. We can handle chastisement that way. Or the third way to deal with chastisement is to endure it. That is to confess to God that I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. And trust God and ask God to give us the wisdom and the strength we need to be able to bring honor and glory to Him in our lives and go on with life. Just simply trust God to help us to be what we ought to be in our lives. This is how we endure chastisement. Now, some things about chastisement. Chastisement does not always follow sin. Chastisement does not always follow sin. Sometimes it precedes it. It precedes it. To help us, to even to prevent us from sinning, or to, not only that, to prevent it, period. Prevent sin, period, in our life. Chastisement can come before sin, as well as after sin. Chastisement also gives us time to think. It gives us time to think. You remember when those sailors cast old Jonah out into the sea? He went down to the deep. You know, he went down to Joppa. He went down, didn't he? Down into the ship, you know, down to Joppa, and then down into the deep, and all that. Now he's down into the deep of the sea, you know. And there he is. He's going to have some time on his hand, not even recognizing it. But he's down there in that sea, and everything's surrounding, and all of a sudden God sends this great big fish by and gulps him up and puts him in his belly. Well, now Jonah's saved. He's been preserved, okay, by God. And now he has time on his hands. He's got 3 days and three nights, okay, in the belly of that whale. And during the process of this time in Jonah's belly, Jonah's focusing on a couple of things. He's focusing, first of all, on the wrong he's done. I've done wrong. You know, I've run from God. God wants me to do something, and I've disobeyed him. Why in the world did I do that? He's thinking back of the foolish things that he did as a Christian, you know, and how he was wrong in doing this. He has time to think about that. You know, I have been to visit people in prison, in jail, and they'll tell you the same thing. You know, we have time now to think about what we've done and how wrong we were, you know, and a lot of times those people, their hearts are ready to receive the Word of God and get saved because of that. They have time on their hand. Well, here's Jonah now in the belly of the fish. He's thinking about this thing. He's going through chastisement now. He has time to think. He's thinking about the wrong he's done up to now. Not only is he thinking about that, he's also thinking about the mercy of God. Because he still could be in the bottom of that sea, drowned. But because of the mercy of God, now he's in the belly of that fish, and that, through that, God is saving him. He's preserving him. He's also thinking about the mercy of God. He has time on his hand. So chastisement gives us time to think. Time to think when we're going through chastisement. You know, I'm so glad that God loves us enough to save us. Not only that, but God loves us enough that when we do wrong after we are saved, he gives us time to correct. He gives us time, you know, to regroup, so to speak. He gives us time to get back in fellowship with him. He doesn't just discard us once we do something wrong. He still loves us like children, because we are God's children after all, aren't we? He's our Father. Therefore, he loves us. And we find that chastisement gives us time to think. Yes, we find that. Chastisement also, when we're in chastisement, remember this, God is near. God is near. The Bible tells us God will never leave us nor forsake us. When we do right, when we do wrong, he's always there. He's always with us, you see. And in the process of chastisement, God is always near. I believe Jonah, when he got in the belly of that whale, I believe with all my heart that he felt he was not beyond God's help, because he saw a miracle take place. He's preserved now. He's not drowned. He's still alive, you see. And therefore, we find him that way. Jonah was cast out as Adam was, okay, and from paradise, and as Job was from his home. Literally, Job was from his home. Why? That he might learn how to pray and suffer and be strong. To suffer and be strong. The chastisement is necessary in our lives as Christians. It helps us. It doesn't always follow sin. It can't precede it or prevent it. Chastisement gives us time to think. And chastisement, always God is near. God is near. But God uses chastisement in the lives of his children many times. Many times in my life. I've been chastised in my life. I really have. I must confess I have. And I thank God for that time that I went through. God taught me a lot of things in my life when I was going through that. He really did. But chastisement, though, when it is rightly received as a believer, when we accept the chastisement of God right, that is from God, God working for us, not against us, but he's working for us, when we accept that way, we find it brings about something very important. That's called repentance. It brings about repentance. Not just, I'm sorry I got caught, okay? But I'm sorry I did it. I'm sorry I committed that sin. That's what chastisement will do. When it's accepted from God and for our good and for his glory. See, we'll recognize it as that way. It was necessary for Jonah to recognize God's hand in his life at that time. God wanted him to understand what was taking place in his life. See, we must see God in our lives in every event of our life. We must accept it as God working in us and through us. no matter what we face. I mean, the heartaches, the trials, the problems we have, is God working? Is God working for us, not against us? We must recognize that as God's children. Because I know when trials and hard things come in our life, we question God, why did this happen to me? Why is it going on in my life? Well, God is not trying to punish us. He's trying to correct us and guide us and educate us and teach us something in our life. And we must ask God, God, now what are you trying to show me? Help me to understand what's taking place in my life at this time. All of us go through things like this. This thought, that is, thinking right about repentance, this was going on, this was now, this thought was in Jonah's life at this time because he's in the belly of the fish. He's thinking that way. Now, Jonah did not pray to be delivered. He did not pray to be delivered from danger, did he? He prayed, he thanked God for his rescue, though, from the fish. He thanked God for his rescue from the fish. Jonah did. Now, when repentance is accepted, when repentance is you know, our thought brings, when it brings about repentance, that is chastisement, we find then this repentance in our Christian's life under chastisement leads to prayer, leads to praying. We must pray. We will pray. We will pray. We find that Jonah's prayer shows he had not given up hope. He speaks about his God, his deliverer, when he prays. He still knows that God loves him and God cares about him. You know? And may we be reminded of that today. No matter what happens in our life, God still loves us. He still loves us. You know, if he could love me when I was a sinner, lost, undone, on my way to hell, much more would God love me now I'm his child. I've been saved. Even though I still do wrong, he still loves me. He still loves me. It's an amazing thing about God, how God loves us in spite of us. When we're lost and on the way to hell, when we're saved and on the way to heaven and still do wrong, he still loves us. He loves us in spite of us all the time. See, we may obtain mercy just like Jonah did. We may obtain mercy as a believer just like Jonah did in his life, you see. And we see here the very thing that could have killed Jonah, that is throwing men through the sea, God made a fish to preserve his life. God made a fish to preserve his life. And we find here now Jonah, he's had time to think in the belly of that fish now, and now he's beginning to pray. Now go back to Jonah in chapter number 2. I said last week, and we talked about it a little bit last week, that this chapter 2 is his prayer. Jonah's prayer of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Look at Jonah's prayer. Look at verse number 1. As you look at this today, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Now we see here that Jonah did something in the fish's belly that what he did not do in the boat. He could have prayed in the boat, but he didn't. Why? Because he was rebellious. He was running from God. He was in sin. He was out of fellowship with God. But now in the belly of the fish, he's had time to think. He's had time to think now, and he's crying out to God. Notice what it said. Verse 2, and I said, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Now notice something here. In verse number 2, he said, and it said, I cried by reason of mine affliction. Why did Jonah pray? What does the Bible say? Because of his afflictions. Because of his affliction. If God had never afflicted Jonah, Jonah might have never prayed. But because of his afflictions, he prayed. Have you ever been hurt? I'm talking about physically, mentally, emotionally, afflicted. What does affliction do to us? How does it affect us? You see, we find here that Jonah prayed because of his affliction. You know, it's amazing how affliction will open the mouth that sin is shut. Affliction will open the mouth that sin has shut. It happens many times. You look at the Israelites. When the fiery serpents invaded them, what happened? They cried out to God, didn't they? We see the death of Bathsheba's child. David began to cry out. Affliction. It's amazing how affliction stirs us and moves us. We find even in the inside of the belly of that big fish, Jonah cried out because of his affliction. Afflictions. You know, Jonah would not surrender sooner. He had the opportunity to, but he did not surrender until finally he was out in the sea and out in the belly. He was literally in the belly of that whale before he ever surrendered. It took him that long to surrender and to pray in his life, you see. Afflictions will bring us as individuals to ourselves. It will bring us to ourselves. It'll get us to think. Afflictions will. Afflictions also will bring reality to the Word of God. As a believer, we'll know the Word of God is true because we know what it says. We've studied it. We've read the Word of God. It brings reality to the Scriptures. You know, this is what God said was going to happen if I did it. And now I see. Now I understand. You see. So we find that the judgments here that God allowed in Jonah's life finally softened his heart, his strong will. Jonah was a very strong-willed person. He was determined to do what he wanted to do, and he wasn't going to do what God or anybody else told him to do. But we see because of the judgments of God on him, the things he went through, he finally softened to where he would speak to God. And it all came about because of his afflictions in his life, you see. You know, it wasn't death alone, if you please, that broke Jonah. When God used these sailors or mariners and threw them in the sea, he went down to the bottom of the sea. Death alone, Jonah never cried out. He could have died right there in that sea. But when that fish came along and got him in his belly, that broke Jonah. It broke Jonah because here's a miracle now that took place in his life. He's not going to have to die in that sea. God has miraculously preserved him. And that broke Jonah. That broke Jonah more than anything else in his life. All the miraculous life out of death. It opened his mouth. It opened his lips, if you please, of stubbornness and rebellion. It broke him. It broke him because of what God had done. You know, it's just like us. Just like me, I should say. Growing up in a Christian home, yes. Saved? No, not saved. But you know, through the process of time, through hearing the Word of God, God used the Word of God to break my stubbornness and to help me see who I was. I wasn't in the bottom of the sea drowning, but I was in sin drowning. I was in sin dying on my way to the devil's hell. But thank God for His mercy upon me. Like Jonah, God come by and visited me through the Holy Spirit of God and convicted me of my sins and drew me to the Lamb of God. And because of that, I'm a child of God today. See, this is similar to what happened to Jonah. Even though Jonah was already a saved man, see, he was in a dangerous place. He could have died. But God preserved him. Because you know why? God wasn't through with him. God still had something for him to do in his life, you see. And I believe that with all my heart. So we see here, in spite of his rebellion, all that he did, when Jonah repented, look what God said in the last part of verse number 2. And said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell cried I. And notice, thou heardest my voice. Aren't you glad that God is always listening? God's always wanting to hear our voice. He's always there, no matter how far down we go, like Jonah did, to the bottom, if you please. God's always there. He's always just a word away, just a voice away. All we got to speak His name and call upon Him. He's there to hear us. He's there to help us in our lives. Thank God for that today. So we see here in this chapter, Jonah's prayer of repentance. His prayer of repentance. He is not sorry he got caught. He's sorry he run from God. He recognized how foolish he's been. He's thankful now for the miraculous love of God and God preserving him. He's repenting. He's repenting of his sin. We also see his prayer of submission in verse 3 and 4. Here we find God, as Jonah finally comes to his senses, if you please. He comes to face reality. He recognizes that God is sovereign in all of the circumstances that's been going on in his life. He says, God, he saw God's hand behind all that happened to me, happened to him. In verse 1, chapter 1, verse 15, he says, you cast me. In other words, God did it. And also in chapter 2, verse 3, your billows and also your waves. He's referring back to God. Jonah is acknowledging God did what he did to me, for me. And also we find also in chapter 2, verse 4, your sight. God calls the storm, didn't he, in Jonah? He calls the storm in his life. We also see that he used the sailors to bring judgment by casting Jonah into the sea. They did their part by God's direction. And we see God's power and God's authority in his circumstances. Through all this, we see that Jonah appeals now to God's mercy. He appeals to God. It took all these things to take place in his life for Jonah to appeal to God's mercy and see God's mercy. He says in verse number 4, I will look again towards your holy temple. I will pray. He prayed and asked God to cleanse him. He knew God could do what he asked him to do. He trusted him to do that. So we see his prayer of repentance, his prayer of submission. We also see his prayer in trouble in verse 5 and 6. These verses describe how Jonah went down to the very bottom. He sunk very low, low, low. Remember, he went down to Joppa, right? He went down in the boat, so to speak. He went down in the waters. Now he's down in the belly of the fish. Down, down, down. That's a backslider's direction. That's somebody's direction who's you know, God is chastening. We see this. Jonah believed that death had his claim when he was in the bottom of that sea. I'm going to die right here. I'm going to die right here is what he was thinking, you know. Yet his hope, he had hope. He acknowledged the loving correction of God, though, when he got in that fish. When God swallowed him in that fish, he acknowledged that. How God corrected him and how God has preserved me now. My, what an example we have. You have Jonah. Jonah here. We also see the prayer of confession in verse number 8. Verse number 8, let's look at it. He says, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own misery, own mercy. He's talking about here the fact that we can believe the devil's lies, and that's what they are. And they'll lead us the wrong way. They'll lead us the wrong way. We don't need to lead and do that. He confessed of his sins of trusting and being so rebellious. Rebellious. You know, all of us have a little bit of that in us, don't we? Stubbornness, rebellion, whatever you want to call it. We sometimes need to acknowledge that to God and go ask God to help us in our lives. I want my way, you know. I want my piece of pie cut like this, you know. I want my ice cream fixed like that, you know. We all have our own ways, you know. And it takes the working of God to do this. Now, we also see in verse number 9, as we close out here today, notice what Jonah said. This is his prayer of thanksgiving. His prayer of thanksgiving. He says, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. What a prayer. What a prayer of thanksgiving we find here. This prayer means two things. He was willing to stop worshiping himself now, and he was willing to choose God's will. Choose God's will. I've run the race long enough. I've fumbled the ball enough. I've failed enough. I've been foolish enough. And now it's time for me to do what God wants me to do. He said, I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I'm thankful. Also, he was ready to make a turn. He was ready to make a turn. He wanted to go God's way now, not his own way. And that's what true repentance is anyway. It's making a turn. It's not just acknowledging I've done wrong and asking God sincerely to forgive us. But it also involves taking a turn to God and let God direct our lives instead of us directing our lives ourselves. Repentance is very important in our lives. We see Jonah here, by the mercy of God and the grace of God, through chastisement in his life, we find him turning back to God. God's giving him now a second chance in his life. You know, I look at my own life and I say, Lord, not only have you given me a second chance, but you've given me many chances in my life. And I thank you for that. I thank you for that. Jonah was not in the position here to bargain with God. He wasn't in that position, but he just thanked God for saving his life. And he committed himself now to do what God wanted him to do. See, one example we have, folks, is Jonah. As we look at him and we try to apply these truths to our lives today. Yes, when we go through trials, we must acknowledge these trials and these sins in our life. We also must realize that God is working. God is working when these things do come. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He wants us to be what he wants us to be, not what we want to be. And may the Lord help us and strengthen us, give us power and wisdom to be what God wants us to be in this life. Listen, the only life worth living is a life for Jesus Christ. That's it. If we're not living for him, if we're not trying to make our lives count for him, we're living a useless, worthless life. It's not going to avail one thing to anybody else that we're around or to ourselves. So may the Lord give us wisdom, give us strength. And we realize as God's children that God will correct us. God will train us. He'll teach us. He'll guide us in our lives if he has to. May we allow him to. May he not have to stop us like he did Jonah. But may we daily walk with him as we commit our lives to him. You know, we have a wonderful privilege today of being able to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, folks. These last days that we're living in. You know, we're living in perilous times, I know that. But God's still on the throne. He's still in control. He wants his children to do what they can to help promote the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost world. People are still lost. If you don't believe it, you start visiting. You find the majority of people around us today are lost. They don't know what it is to be a Christian. They don't know what it is to be saved. They don't know what it is to be in church. They don't know nothing about God whatsoever. They're lost, folks. Jonah had a job to do, to cry out to a people that were sinful. We have a job to do, folks, to cry out to people of the world that we live in that's sinful. May God give us the power and the strength and wisdom to do it for him. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the examples that you give in your word, Lord, to help us and to direct us as your children. We're thankful for your mercy and your grace that you bestow upon us every day. Lord, even though we, yes, do wrong sometimes, we sin, we come short, you're still a merciful God and ready to forgive us if we will acknowledge our sins once again and ask for forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for Jonah. Thank you, Lord, that you raised him up again for us to see ourselves even, and how we all have the same nature. Lord, I just pray you give us the power and the strength we need, Lord, to live for you every day until Jesus comes. Father, bless now the next service we're about to go into. I pray, God, for the direction with the singing, the congregational songs, the special. You got to especially pray for our pastor that you would anoint him afresh and anew today. Give him power, give him liberty to speak thus saith the Lord. Lord, if there's one in our midst here, even in this class today or the church, in just a minute, that's lost, I pray you might help them to find, see their need to be saved today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.